Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, I came across this guest this evening on the internet. And there I learned about a book, Lost in Transnation, which has been written by Dr. Miriam Grossman, and the foreword is by Jordan Peterson. Now, if you're not familiar with Jordan Peterson, you must not be paying any attention. But I hope when this interview is over, you're going to be familiar with Dr. Grossman, who has done us all the service of writing about this problem that is, I'm going to say, and of course, I'm not the psychiatrist here, she is, but this is a problem that has been a contagious insanity in our culture. And so Dr. Grossman is a child psychiatrist. She is familiar with gender dysphoria and has not just read about it. She's dealt with people who have struggled with this. And of course, it isn't just a struggle for the child. It is a struggle for the family. And the medical profession currently, in my humble non-medical opinion, is doing a gross disservice to children and families and exploiting them in a way that is horribly unscientific and ends up being cruel and damaging. But don't take my word for it, because I'm not the expert. The book, again, is Lost in Transnation, and the author, Dr. Grossman, is with us this evening. Dr. Grossman, thank you for coming on the broadcast.
Well, you're so welcome.
Dr. Grossman, why did you feel moved to write this book?
Well, Jim, we really are in a dire situation here, as you mentioned. Kids are being indoctrinated to think that maybe they were born in the wrong bodies, mm-hmm. as if there is such a thing.
Right.
There's no medical foundation to this whatsoever, no scientific foundation to the idea that a person could be born with a boy's body and a girl's mind or anything of the sort.
Right.
We've known for a very long time that there are rare individuals, one in tens of thousands of people, who feel a sense of discomfort or incongruence with their sex. We've known that for a long time. Mm-hmm. Those individuals usually fell into one of two groups of people. They were either little boys, and those little boys, over time, if you allow them to grow up and go through puberty, would outgrow mm-hmm. this distressing feeling that they had about their body, mm-hmm. and many of them would be gay men. Mm-hmm. And the other group that we identified and knew about were middle-aged heterosexual men who like to cross-dress. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I'm oversimplifying, but for the sake of argument, those were kind of the two groups that we have been aware of for a long yes. time. Now, in the past maybe 8 to 10 years, there's a new group, and that is adolescents who never before expressed any discomfort with their bodies, mm-hmm. and a majority of these adolescents are girls. Mm-hmm. So it is a brand new group of kids. And I, you know, gender dysphoria is a symptom that I thought I would never see in my office. I learned about it when I was, training to become a psychiatrist and a child psychiatrist, and I thought that it's just something that I would read about in books, in the textbook.
Yes.
That's how rare it was. And now that's all I do. So that's all I do, and I have I could theoretically have a long waiting list of families waiting to get it. So it's become, it's an epidemic, and like you mentioned, it's a social contagion. So what is a social contagion? It is when beliefs or feelings or behaviors are spread within a group of friends or acquaintances. So it can be in at school, it can be online. And that is what we see happening right now, is that kids who never before had any issue with being boys and girls,
mm-hmm.
over the course of a relatively small amount of time, and especially the lockdowns of COVID played a big part in this,
mm-hmm.
because kids were isolated on their devices, on YouTube, on social media, meeting all sorts of people. Some of them were grooming them and encouraging that they explore a new identity.
Yes.
So in the past, I wrote books about sex education.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, my book called You're Teaching My Child What, which originally came out in 2009, I had a chapter in there warning parents about what kids were being taught about gender.
Mm-hmm.
In 2009, okay, 14
yes.
years ago, trying to wave a red flag,
mm-hmm.
and saying, this is dangerous. We don't want to teach kids that their bodies may be wrong.
Right.
We don't want to teach kids that sex is assigned at birth. Sex is established.
Yes.
At conception, when the sperm and the egg unite.
Yes.
You get either a boy or a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we teach kids over and over and over again, we indoctrinate them to think that the only reason they are called a boy or a girl is because a doctor or a midwife made just some random assignment when they were born. That is a dangerous thing to do. And it's a fault. It's just simply false.
Right.
Nothing is assigned. It's recognized in the delivery room or earlier. And that's exactly what I said a few weeks ago at the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I testified to that. And it's a sad day, isn't it, when a doctor has to be brought in to testify in Congress to say that male and female is established at conception.
Well, we live in a culture now where you can become a Supreme Court justice as a female without being able to answer the question, what is a woman? Because it's somehow, for a lot of people, okay for her to answer, I really am not qualified to say because I'm not a biologist. I mean, that is not willful ignorance. That is deliberately trying to obscure the truth. She knows the answer to that question, but she knows that she's going to alienate a whole bunch of her base if she answers with an obvious answer. A woman should be able to say what a woman is. A child should be able to say what a woman is. When our kids were growing up, my wife and I have had the blessing of raising 7 children, 4 of them adopted, 3 of them ours biologically. And all 7 of them were taught about sex from a biblical standpoint, using adult medical terminology, because the Bible doesn't use euphemisms over and over in order to try and make sure that kids don't know what we're talking about. This is appropriate for children to be taught the truth. Now, you don't teach all children at all ages all things, but you ought to make sure that whatever you teach them is accurate. It's true.
Well, yes. The the goal of my book, Lost in Transnation, I was going to get the earlier book, Lost in Transnation. And be careful if you do go, if your audience does go to Amazon. Oh, first of all, Barnes & Noble is making it very difficult to get that book. So if you do go to Amazon, I would like you to use a link that either comes from my Twitter account or from my website, because there are a lot of bogus books being put up on Amazon now to trick people into buying them instead of my book. They have the same title, or they say that they're a workbook, or that they're a summary, or what have you. There's no workbooks, there's no summaries, there's just one book. So Lost in Transnation empowers parents. It empowers parents because I want them to begin protecting their kids against this ideology, this belief system. And I don't mean that I want them telling them about the birds and the bees. What I want them to tell little children is that they were either a boy or a girl from the first moment that they were created.
Yes.
That it's not up to the doctor or the nurse.
Or the parent.
Or the parent. It's the way that they were made from the first moment, and it will never change. And there are all kinds of different boys and different girls in the world. And however they are, a boy is just fine. They don't have to love football and sports and building things and guns. And the girls don't have to love makeup and fashion. There's all kinds of people walking the face of the earth. We are all mosaics of male and female. And they should never, ever believe for a second that if they don't fit into this rigid stereotype of what a boy or a girl is supposed to be, which is what this ideology does, that they should consider that they are not a boy or a girl.
Right.
So parents can start that very early on.
Yes. Well, I did something in 2020 that I had never done before. I'm an old guy, and I've been preaching and teaching the scriptures decades. I mean, since I started preaching when I was 15. I'm going to be 70 my next birthday. And so I've been doing this a long time, and I had taught virtually all the books of the Bible to our school here at Wares Valley Ranch. I had taught virtually all the books of the Bible at various times. I teach chapter by chapter and verse by verse, because it's all God's word. But I had never taught the Song of Solomon to children. I'd taught it several times to adults. My wife and I do marriage conferences and parenting conferences, that sort of thing. And I'd taught Song of Solomon in that context because it's a marvelous book, but I'd never taught it to children. And in 2020, the Lord really dealt with me about it and said, you need to preach that to the kids. And I thought, Lord, I can't do that because, you know, I mean, this is not the sort of thing we usually discuss this way with children. And God spoke to my heart and said, look, these kids are being bombarded with information about sex that is not accurate. It's not truth. They need to hear what I say about sex and what I say about their bodies. So prayerfully, I studied and prepared and then taught it. And it was actually a joy because aiming the presentation at children, we talked about the fact that your body is a beautiful thing. It is God's creation, and he did a wonderful job. And you should not only appreciate your body, but if you marry, you should celebrate your partner's body. Because even though individuals are different, and as you said, we're a mosaic, that is the truth. But all of us are fearfully and wonderfully made. My oldest son was born with spina bifida and hydrocephalus. He is a paraplegic. He is shunt dependent. He's had over 40 surgeries before he was 40 years old. And that is, by definition, legitimately called a birth defect. He was born arguably with multiple birth defects. They're related to each other. A neural tube defect that resulted in various things. But our son's body is amazing. When he was first born, and that's when his problems were discovered medically, the doctor, I mean, he was immediately whisked away to be evaluated by the pediatric specialists there at Children's Hospital in Boston. And after they examined him, they met with me and they said, Mr. Wood, your child has these problems. He needs this kind of care, but his heart is great and his kidneys look fine. And I'm thinking, after they've told me all the bad stuff and now they're telling me the good stuff, I'm thinking, well, what good is that? How is that good news? But thank God, within a matter of weeks, we had discovered how wonderful it was that his heart is strong, that his kidneys were well-formed and that they function properly, and that a urodynamic study showed that there was no reflux that was going to damage the kidneys in the years to come. I mean, just all these things. The fact that he cannot do certain things physically is definitely a downer, but we ended up celebrating all the things he can do. He is able to do so many things. And even though he has, I mean, they said he has severe brain damage and we won't really be able to test his intelligence until he's about 4 years old. But it's possible he could still have intelligence within the normal range. Well, Paul's intelligence is barely within the normal range. But let me clarify. Some aspects of his intelligence get down that low to the normal range. For the most part, he is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. He was reading Time magazine as a preschooler. And I mean, he's an astounding work of art by the Creator God. And if children are taught that whatever differences they may have, whatever challenges they may have, their body is still an amazing creation, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, as I quoted before. That's the truth. And when children can celebrate that, our son does not feel inadequate. Our son feels blessed, and he has blessed so many people. So, I want parents to be empowered to teach their children that, as you said, sex is determined at conception. From the moment that you started as a person in your mother's womb, you were either male or female. And whether the doctor discovered that while you were still in the womb or after you were born. We didn't know when Paul was born until the moment of his birth. We didn't know if he was a boy or a girl. Didn't know. We had a name picked out if he was a boy. We had a name picked out if he was a girl. What we knew was that whatever he was a creation of God. And he needed to be welcomed and received with love. And thank God, he's going to be 45 in September, God willing. And thank God he knows that about himself. And that's one of the main themes that comes through if you're teaching Song of Solomon to children, is all these body parts are good and you ought to appreciate them. And you ought to appreciate each other's bodies and not look down on yourself or somebody else because they're different than you are.
Well, that's really quite something. Thank you for telling me all that. Very moving story. And I hope he continues to be well for many, many years.
Thank you.
Well, what I'd like your audience to know is that this is a very important book. It will help them to understand a subject that is very urgent and dire, and it will help parents to protect their families I explain the history of gender ideology. I explain why it's like a religion and it's not just in science. I go into what's happening at the schools. Parents have to really be aware, and not only public schools, but, you know, private schools sometimes as well.
Absolutely.
I have an appendices written by attorneys giving parents really crucial information about their constitutional rights to direct their child's education and health care.
Excellent.
We have schools now that are trampling on those rights.
Yes.
And teachers and guidance counselors who think that they know better than parents what's good for their child. So
yes,
I really put my heart and soul into this book. It's not for professionals. It's for everyday moms and dads.
Excellent.
And the goal is for families to be protected so that they don't need to go find a therapist like myself who will help them through a catastrophe of having their kid confused about whether they are a boy or a girl.
Yes. I'm so grateful for your book and so grateful for your honesty. I believe it is safe to say that the people who encourage this, the medical professionals who encourage this kind of behavior where children are confused and then launch down a horrific series of treatments are going to have patience for a long time because you have to continue. I've dealt with people who started down this road. You don't just go somewhere and get something done. You're now a patient for years to come.
Lifelong,
and that is known also as an income stream. And therefore, I would suggest that there's a lot of greedy people who are not good scientists or good doctors who are exploiting vulnerable people who've been set up to think that this problem they're having is going to be fixed by doctors. Those doctors should be stripped of their licenses. They should lose their practice. They should be locked up. That's my opinion, I realize. But I thank God for bold individuals like you who are willing to take a stand. And I thank God that you've written this book, Lost in Transnation. And as you said, people should go from your website to Amazon using one of your links, not just searching for this themselves on the internet. So please share with us your site so that people can go there.
My website is Miriam, M-I-R-I-A-M, Grossman, GrossmanMV.com. And you'll find a lot of good stuff there. You'll see the testimony that I gave in Congress last month, and a lot of other things I've written and spoken about. And right at the top is a link to Amazon where you can get the correct book instead of a bogus book.
Right. And again, the reason for the bogus book is there are people who don't want other people to know the truth. They want to distract. They want to destroy. And I would submit to our listeners that you need to know we have an adversary who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the end game. And the people who are involved in this do not have to understand that they are pawns in a larger game that is bent on the destruction of people, because God loves people. And therefore, the enemy wants to hurt people and thereby grieve the God who created them.
And families. Destroys families also.
Absolutely. You are so right. Thank you so much, Dr. Grossman.
You're welcome, Jim. Thanks for having me.
God bless you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.